Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you are very welcome. Welcome to Rugby News, the podcast about our town, our people. We'll kick off, as we like to do, with the roundup of the local news. That's news local to rugby, with the help of the excellent newspapers, the Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser. In this week's show, podcast number 9, released on Friday the 17th of January, I'll share with you the local news from around Rugby Town, including fears that rugby could be forgotten. Police have been busy over the festive season, and despite a dip in business confidence, job prospects remain positive. And then in my weekly deep dive feature, I talk to Ollie Taylor, owner and oft-times host at the Town Centre Bar and Restaurant, the CV22, about the lessons learned from 11 years trying to give rugby a leg up. And if one idea doesn't quite do the job, he'll flex with renewed enthusiasm to something new. As always, a fascinating chat. And so, without further ado, here's our news. We fear rugby could be forgotten, was the call of councillors raising their concerns over a proposed overhaul of Warwickshire's council structures. Warwickshire County Council has expressed an interest in joining the fast-track route to form a unitary authority, one big council covering all services that are currently delivered across two tiers of local government, and that would be from April 2027. A unitary authority would lead to the abolition of the current county setup and all five of Warwickshire's district and borough councils, including Rugby Borough Council. It was the county leader, Councillor Izzy Seckham, who took and announced the political decision to move this all forward in a meeting last Friday. The other four districts and boroughs, each led by different political parties, have publicly objected to the pace of the changes, as well as the prospect of not holding county council elections as planned in May. Labour-led rugby did not join them. Borough Councillor Isabel McKenzie, Lib Dem, Rokeby and Overslade, was among those to address Councillor Seckham on Friday. As we know, the Lib Dems work with a minority Labour administration in rugby to get decisions through. She expressed her concerns. In rugby, we feel a bit forgotten in Warwickshire. We're neither North Warwickshire nor South Warwickshire. We're East Warwickshire, she said. We would, I think, end up being more forgotten unless something is done within this unitary structure. We have no town council in rugby and would lose some of that significant representation that the borough council gives us. There are a lot of challenges in our borough, including a big programme of town centre regeneration. I'm concerned that the money we've put away to do that is going to get swallowed up by social care and special educational needs and disabilities. Not only would that leave us with less of a voice, but also less of the money that we have put together in rugby for rugby. Councillor Seckham acknowledged high-demand county services such as education and social care had become enormously expensive and were outstripping pace by quite a long way, saying that in itself was a reason to move quickly. I don't see the finances improving, she said. And she added that capital money for the regeneration programme wouldn't be transferred to the revenue pots that fund services. Councillor Barbara Brown, New Bilton and Overslade, serves on both authorities too. She commented on how the national push towards unitaries came in a speedier way than we thought, but did advocate moving quickly. She also said, in urban wards, we don't have parish councils and we don't have a town council. The fear among some residents is that it'll start to look a bit like the old Russian Empire, loads of little pockets of decision making and a really complex, cumbersome structure to get it all into the centre. Well, plenty to be concerned about, especially if we're going to lose the existing resources, that being funds and manpower, that should be laser-focused on the interests of the town. We'll watch this very closely. The police have been working hard on our behalf over the last few weeks or so in what they're calling County Lines Intensification Week. Officers arrested 19 people for drug-related offences, seized over 180 wraps of crack, heroin, cocaine and meth, and confiscated 150 cannabis plants during the week. They also seized over £17,800 in cash and 9 weapons, executed a warrant at a cannabis farm in Leamington and arrested a man as part of an investigation into a shop in Rugby suspected of being used as a front for dealing drugs. Detective Inspector Pete Sherwood from Warwickshire Police's Serious and Organised Crime Team said, "Despite what some people think, the production and supply of drugs is not a victimless crime. Far from it. It leads to the exploitation of some of the most vulnerable people in society and fuels violent crime and other types of offending such as shoplifting and burglary. So much of the work carried out during the week was as a result of information provided by the public. This is vital in helping us tackle drug crime and exploitation in the county. Thanks for all your support and please keep the information coming." Across Coventry and Warwickshire, job prospects remain positive, despite a slight dip in confidence among businesses across the region. The Coventry and Warwickshire Chamber of Commerce do a quarterly economic survey, and this was one of the conclusions for the last quarter of last year. Corin Crane, Chief Executive of the Coventry and Warwickshire Chamber of Commerce, said, "Businesses have had to live with a huge amount of uncertainty over the past few years, and that continued post-general election with a budget that was unexpectedly tough on companies with upfront costs rising. It's not surprising, therefore, that business confidence and the wider economic outlook took a little bit of a dip. That said, it still remains in positive territory, which means there are prospects for growth across the region. And that's down to the incredible resilience and innovation of businesses across all sectors from the whole of Coventry and Warwickshire. It is pleasing to see that local companies are still looking to grow from an employment point of view, especially as there were additional burdens placed on businesses through a higher minimum wage and an increase in employers' national insurance." He said his biggest concern was the dip in export orders for businesses across the region. He added, "Growing international trade is something that must be a priority for the government because it's a surefire way of boosting the economy and has a positive impact on businesses who do export as well as their supply chains." Now, you may be aware there have been long-standing aspirations to build a huge giga park near Coventry for several years now. Well, the plans are a step closer to fruition, with West Midlands Mayor Richard Parker announcing a £23 million funding package to power up the Coventry and Warwick Gigapark, with the installation of a dedicated energy supply capable of supporting large-scale battery production. The Gigapark is where private investment will enable the production of batteries, and the issue of power supply for such a huge operation is critical to its success. It benefits hugely from being within part of the region's flagship investment zone, set to become the UK's centre for electrification and clean energy. Green Power Park is a groundbreaking concept offering an all-in-one solution for battery research, industrialisation, manufacturing, testing, recycling and electrified logistics designed to foster the UK's growing battery ecosystem. Gigapark, the intended battery manufacturing and technology hub, will create thousands of new jobs near Rugby and Coventry. The West Midlands Combined Authority says its investment will make the investment zone site ready for development and put the region into pole position to secure the major international investment to attract the battery manufacturers along with other associated supply chain businesses. Fully developed, the Gigapark could create up to 6,000 jobs in battery manufacturing and in the EV supply chain. Mr. Parker said the Gigapark is going to make the West Midlands a global hub for cutting-edge battery technology, paving the way for a new era of electric vehicle manufacturing in and around our region. Well, some vision there of how we, locally, could well be at the centre of something special to help us move to a cleaner way of living. In just over a week, it will be the Chinese New Year, and for the first time in rugby, it will be celebrated big time and in style. It's a free spectacle taking place in Marketplace on Sunday, January the 26th, between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. So come along to be treated to traditional Chinese music, dance, crafts, food, face painting and lantern making and tea tasting and join the parade. The centrepiece of the day will be that procession which will involve the iconic lion and dragon dancing with lanterns and drums setting off from the marketplace at around 11:30. Amy Zhang of the organisers said, "The Chinese New Year celebrations are a very important annual celebration for the Chinese community, and I'm really pleased that we have the opportunity to celebrate it with the wider community in the town centre. I have no doubt that it will provide an amazing spectacle and fantastic atmosphere in the town centre." Linda Laun, Rugby First Business Director, said, "The Chinese community in rugby and the surrounding area continues to grow, and we're looking forward to welcoming visitors from Coventry, Warwick and Leamington to the town centre, which can only be good news for the local economy." In the Chinese calendar, each year is associated with a specific animal, and 2025 is the year of the snake. The snake, it's a symbol of wisdom, and people born this year will be embraced by intelligence and creativity. Well, I'll be there with my microphone to capture the sounds, describe the scenes and chat to people. See you there, Rugby Town Centre, between 11 and 4, 26th of January. And when you spot my yellow mic, come and say hello. Matt Weston, MP for Warwick and Leamington, has thrown his support behind major local employer Jaguar Land Rover after the leader of Reform UK, Mr. Nigel Farage, said they deserve to go bust. Jaguar Land Rover, of course, employ thousands of people in Warwickshire. Mr. Farage's comments came after Jaguar announced their rebrand with a widely discussed publicity trailer ahead of the launch of their new concept car. After the advert was released, Mr. Farage had said, "I predict Jaguar will now go bust, and you know what? They deserve to." Mr. Farage then claimed that Jaguar sales figures had fallen by 25% in the last quarter, leading him to claim he was right. Matt Weston, who worked in the automotive sector for 24 years, argued that this was simply because existing Jaguar models are on run-out. He said Mr. Farage's comments were utter tosh and potentially deeply damaging. Mr. Weston said, "What hacks me off more than nearly anything is people who talk down UK manufacturers. It's no secret to anyone that lives here that Jaguar Land Rover is a major employer and contributes enormously to our local economy. To have a politician, who I imagine has never stepped foot in our towns, make a shouty video declaring one of our major employers deserved to go bust because they made an advert which he didn't like, is utterly ridiculous. He is looking for a soundbite. We're looking to keep high-quality jobs for local people, and I think we know what matters more." A life-saving rugby charity has been featured on ITV's Good Morning Britain and GB News. Naomi Issit, who set up the Our J Foundation in memory of her teenage son Jamie, promoted the importance of defibrillators on the shows, joined by her partner Jem. Jamie, you may remember, died in hospital at the age of 18 after suffering a cardiac arrest in 2022. The nearest defibrillator was in a locked school. Naomi said, "The huge platform of Good Morning Britain with Susanna Reid and Ed Balls has given Jamie's foundation an unbelievable opportunity to raise more awareness, not only around accessible defibrillators, but also around our long-running campaign to get defibrillators in all police vehicles across the UK." Now, Naomi is someone who's doing amazing things for the rugby community and further afield, and I think it would be great to chat with her on this podcast. We'll see. You're listening to the Rugby News Podcast, where I draw together all the main stories from the last week from rugby town and all around, so you can hear them at your convenience for free every Friday and with no distracting ads, all in about 20 minutes or so. You can listen while you're walking the dog, driving to work, or finishing off that ironing. And if you like what you hear, be sure and follow Rugby News, all one word, on your usual podcast station to get a notification of when a new one drops. And tell your friends. Do tell your friends. If you like it, they'll like it too. Spread the word. Do spread the word. Thank you. Now, that was a roundup of the local news stories about our rugby town, and I am indebted to the excellent local papers, the Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser, for all their help. And hey, for even more detail and even more news stories as they happen, go to their websites or follow them on their Facebook pages. Now, every week in the Rugby News Podcast, I take my trusty mic and I visit interesting places and chat with interesting people from around the town. People who are making a difference, adding to the uniqueness of this extraordinary place. Well, this week, I went into town on the Hill Morton Road, and at the top of Sheep Street, opposite the rugby school, I turned on my mic. Hello! You join me on a busy Saturday lunchtime in a rugby town centre bar, restaurant, music venue. I'm inside the 22, CV 22, at the top of Sheep Street. It's a brilliant setting with huge picture windows looking out across the street, right opposite the famous buildings of Rugby School. And I'm here to meet Ollie Taylor, who has owned these buildings for 11 years now, and I want to chat with him about his passion for rugby the game and rugby the town. I ask him first about this building, which many may remember as It's a Gift.
This building is, in fact, three buildings. It is number 20 Sheep Street, CV21. It is number 2 Lawrence Sheriff Street, CV22. And then there was a little coaching alley between us and what is now Mac. And that was filled in with a front and a back and floor and a roof. It was, I don't know when it was all knocked together either, but when we bought it, it was listed as 20 Sheep Street, but because my whole inspiration had pretty much come from celebrating rugby and one of my main passions, rugby football, I wanted it to be CV22 because of the connection then with the ball, the game, the cap and all the good stuff that I enjoy. I had the opportunity, because the door is on the corner, to either leave it as 20 Sheep Street or in fact list it as 2 Lawrence Sheriff Street, and that's why it is actually CV22. It is in CV22 and it is 2 Lawrence Sheriff Street now, not 20 Sheep Street, which is what it would have been when it was It's a Gift.
So you bought the place and then you've actually been through a series of transitions. Your vision for this place has changed and developed.
In response to Rugby's a Bit Crap, I never got that. It's been very good to me. I've really enjoyed growing up here. Moved here when I was 10, and I've made the best friends here. I did high school here. I played rugby here for Rugby Lions and coached for 9 years at Rugby Lions as well. Not at any great level personally, but I was lucky enough to play at a high level amongst people who were infinitely better than me. And I was very lucky, and I'm very appreciative of that fact. I just didn't get the whole negative narrative that a lot of people apply. I guess I'm very lucky in being quite a positive person anyway. My glass is always half full, so it's perhaps easier for me in that regard, but I never got it. So I thought, well, if everybody thinks it's a bit crap, why don't I try and create something that's really, really good? And it wasn't from a position of, a pocket of cash or something. This was a slow, painful, expensive, exhausting, really, truly exhausting process. And we did some amazing things. We did things I never expected to do. People will probably heard me banging on about London Fashion Week and dressing Benedict Cumberbatch and meeting David Beckham and David Gandy and being in all the magazines. It was a real moment, but it didn't really resonate locally. It did further, but it didn't really resonate locally with everybody. And we did get a little bit fashion darling with the whole thing, and I think probably alienated ourselves from my audience and from my aesthetic and from kind of what I wanted it to be.
So you were trying to establish a fashion brand based on the game of rugby and where we are to the benefit of the town?
Absolutely. 100%. That was exactly what the motivation was.
What would they search for if they wanted to find out your fashions? Is it CV22 or?
CV22 Rugby England. So CV22.com is where you'd find the garments still online. There haven't been any new collections created. I've got some in mind. There's some things I do want to do, maybe not this year. I've got a lot of people kind of pushing me to do things with it as well, but at the moment I have other priorities.
You have a lot of things on your plate, don't you? So the business is that business is moving along nicely, but this building had to change in order for you to feel it was contributing to Rugby Town.
Absolutely. I think when I created the label, I think it was something that actually a lot of people did get behind. I'm being a bit unfair, actually. A lot of people did get behind it and they appreciated it. But we kind of priced ourselves out of the pocket of the people that we were trying to serve or the job that we were trying to do. So I think that was another mistake that I made early on. There's a bit of a pattern here with the number of mistakes and changes that have been made. But, it is what it is, and it's the best way to learn. And learn we have. But the thing that we realised was that, okay, we still didn't need to lower our standards. And you can spend good money on certain cocktails, certain liquor, certain wines in here, but we also sell the cheapest real ale in town, but don't tell anyone.
So this building has now become something different. It's not a fashion house. It's describe what CV22, as it's currently branded, is here to offer.
So we are a coffee shop, bar. So during the day, breakfast, brunches, lunches at the moment. We are going to extend that. Fantastic Flying Horse coffee, which is roasted by our friends Flying Horse down in London. And then by night, live music, cocktails, great back bar, great selection of liquors and draft beers and lagers. It's very much a kind of from the heart hospitality venue that features and focuses on our love of music and rugby the town and being part of a community. The with regards to particularly the restaurant, it's very much a case of local, seasonal, artisanal fare. And that's very deliberate. And yes, obviously, quality. I'm a firm believer, if you're going to do anything, you do it well.
Well, how do you measure success for this operation?
The lights are on.
So just merely existence.
Yeah, I mean, how would anybody measure their success from the last 5 years, surviving Brexit and COVID? Still being here, the doors are still open, the lights are still on, and we're still paying the wages.
And you've got energy to take it forward with a new brand. Is there anything you can say briefly about whatever you're moving towards?
Yeah, the focus is very much on our passion for music. and for hospitality. The main thing is that you know that it's here, it's available to everybody, and it's good quality, and it's actually not as expensive as you might think. And that everything we do, we try to do to the best of our ability. So we are the home, the birthplace of rugby football. We'll still continue to show the Six Nations on the big screen, but our main focus is going to be the music. So we are changing the name to something that is more akin to the music, which is Tempo.
Very good. All to do with rhythm and pace. The music
Two things that I have none of.
That's absolute nonsense. You are one of the best, I was going to say, bongo players. You wouldn't say, you wouldn't accept that, well, but you are a musician of some renown in your own right.
A legend in my own lunchtime.
So? Well, you play with the Mockingjays rather well, am I not mistaken?
Well, I'd certainly play with the Mockingjays.
So, rugby fan, player, and also percussion player. Rugby Town, you weren't born here, but you are so passionate about it and its future. Do you have a vision of how it might be one day that would give you pleasure and think, nah, this is rugby?
Wow, that is such a leading question. Yeah, I do. It's a challenge, and I appreciate it. It's a massive challenge. I do think that as a town, we lack a little bit of civic pride. I understand why. You know, I very naively thought I could bang a drum, no pun intended, and wave a flag for the town and do some interesting, fun, exciting things that would make people feel a bit of joy about what was going on and what was available and what we're capable of. Didn't really go the way that I thought it might, but that's okay. Without being boastful, it would be nice to be a bit more prideful of what we actually are and what we are. And I'd be careful what I say now, because you and I differ somewhat on the route to this. I know that, but we are a community, and I think that in losing our civic pride, we've lost a little bit of our community orientation as well. And that is not just a rugby thing. That's pandemic. That is 5 years of just weirdness, austerity, and Brexit, and COVID, and lockdown, and you know we are still in a snow globe, and somebody's still shaking it. You know, we're not out of the woods yet, and it's going to take some time. And I think some things will probably never come back to the way that they were pre-COVID. Anyway, this is not a rugby problem. This is a global problem that we face, and sitting at home grumbling about the existence of another independent business, making some comment about how long you think it's going to last, or complaining because it's another coffee shop, is really not going to help. That actually, I'm afraid, makes you part of the problem. If we continue to identify and vocalise what we think is wrong without actually getting involved in what is right, then all we will see is, I always liken the problems that we have to downhill skiing. I don't ski, but I understand, and this makes perfect sense to me, that downhill skiers never look at the trees. They always look at the gap. Because if you look at the tree, you hit the tree. If you look at the gap, you go through the gap. And this is a problem that a lot of rugbyans have, is that they look at the things they don't like, and therefore they veer towards them. That's what they focus on, that's what they see, that's what they talk about. They don't look at the light, they don't look at the gap, they don't look at the positivity. And how we change that mindset is where the true challenge lies. I always say it would be nice to see people fall back in love with rugby, but I think really the notion goes a stage further than that. It is, how do we get people to fall in love with the idea of falling in love with rugby? The idea, the notion that actually, it's a good thing to be proud of your town. It's a good thing to be part of a community. It's a good thing to get off your backside and make positive change when you see something that you perceive as negative. Just get involved. Get involved, support the local businesses. There are some phenomenal local businesses, some great venues. We're very, very lucky to have such a vibrant, dynamic mix of entrepreneurs in this town. and not everybody's capitalising on them. If you live in Halton, get your ass into town.
So this is going to require some kind of strategic harnessing of these energies. Are there forces out there that you think are coming together and there's reasons to be cheerful?
There's always reasons to be cheerful. I think we're by no means out of the woods, and we're by no means even involved in the worst. But no, we face a series of challenges, but that does not mean there is not a light at the end of the tunnel. It does not mean that there is not a light burning brightly in this town now. And there are a lot of people, there are a lot of concerned citizens, there are a lot of concerned organisations, and I, for one, have attended so many well-meaning groups and seminars for people whose motivation is positive change in the borough. And I've seen a lot of people say the same things about the same problems and try and solve them with the same solutions, which is not my way. You know, we need to wake up to the fact that if we keep trying to put the same sticking plaster on the same open wound and it is not healing, it is time to think about a different method. It's all very well saying we should love our town. Yeah, of course we should love our town. We've got so much to be thankful for here, you know, and we do tend to focus on a lot of the problems and a lot of the negative things. That doesn't mean to say that there aren't still groups of people out there and organisations and venues that aren't good here, because there are. And even if you're only coming in to do one thing, come in and do that one thing and go to one of the independent coffee shops or independent pubs or venues and support your local community that way.
So what is it about the local coffee shop rather than a national chain that you would promote?
To be honest, it's an easy question. It's just not an easy question to answer without a little bit of a rant. There are some very popular corporate food and beverage companies that people like to use, and I understand that, and I don't silently judge Starbucks. I'm very vocal about my judgment of Starbucks. They're a money-making organization masquerading as a food and beverage business, whereas an independent is going to have been motivated by the love of service, the love of somebody's enjoyment. I have a very good friend who is a very, very good chef, and he once said to me, when you're working in a kitchen, you work all day for 30 seconds. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean you work all day for 30 seconds? He said, you work all day for 30 seconds because all of your prep work, all of your cooking, everything, the presentation of the food, all comes down to the 30 seconds when that plate gets put in front of your guest and they take a deep breath, take a smile, do a little food dance, whatever it is they do that shows their appreciation and love, or that first bite, that first 30 seconds. You've toiled all day for that 30 seconds. There is not one corporate business in the food and beverage industry where that is their motivation. They are interested in how much money they can extract from your pocket, not how much joy they can put in your heart.
Thank you, Ollie. Joy in your heart and pride in your town. That echoes so much in the conversations I've been having recently with people on this podcast. And Ollie shares so many of the same characteristics: energy, enthusiasm. He's tireless, driven. He tried it through establishing a high-end fashion label based on the spirit and value of the games. Didn't quite come off as he'd planned. And successful as it was, he moved into food and beverage and is even now sharpening the offer around a quality, independent eating and drinking experience set in a quality music venue. He believes in rugby as a community that has, over the last many years, been hit by COVID, by Brexit, by the rise of the corporate uniformity at a cost to the local individual independence and a polarising effect of social media. But rugby's not alone. It's the same across the UK and beyond.
But rugby has so much potential to work with, more than most. And if we can get people out and involved, trying fresh ideas where old thinking has failed, if we ski down that hill going for the gaps rather than focusing on the trees, we really should be able to rebuild some civic pride in our unique town. Well, I've been Simon. See you next time. Goodbye. Okay, we've pretty much reached the end of this podcast, and thank you so much for staying with it. I publish it once a week, every Friday morning, so if you click follow next to Rugby News, or one word, on any of the podcast platforms, you should get a notification when a new one drops, so make sure you do follow. As well as the news of Rugby's week, I always have a deep dive, an interview with someone in the local community who's making or trying to make a positive difference, trying to build our community, to enhance the profile of the town, to make us proud of rugby, our town, our people. So if you think of anyone that fits the bill, let me know, please. Email simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. I hope you liked what you heard, found it useful, and you want more. And if you did, others will too. So share the news and spread the word by sharing the Facebook posts and telling your friends about Rugby News, all one word. Any ideas to make it better, of course, let me know. After all, it is your town, your people. Reach me on email simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. Okay, I've been Simon. Goodbye.